This is episode 21 of Sean Hammer, and today I bring you What Else. Well, anyway, what else can be said, exactly? Today we talk about the forest-faring elves that got left behind by their high elf predecessors, or brothers, or whatever the hell you want to call it. But basically, what I like to call it, they're forgotten. At least one of them, actually. And what I mean by that is, what else is one of the older races in Warhammer that just so happened to get screwed by the theory of high elves always striking first. Three of them are wood elves, dwarves, and dark elves. And we'll go each of those books in turn. Maybe not in a row here, but soon enough. So you ask me why wood elves? Now, for one, I just put together a 1,250-point wood elf list. It consists of three units of dryads, eight apiece, a unit of wild riders, full command, with a war banner. I also have a branch wraith, not upgraded to the magic because I ran out of points. Three treekin, one tree man, and an elven lord on a great stag with Hail of Doom Arrow. I know that's just normally not the setup you see with a Hail of Doom Arrow, but I wanted some actual missile weapon in my army that might be able to, like, pretty much peg off a mage or a pretty decent little unit or something giving me a hard time. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and let's take a look at the Wood Elf book. First and foremost, I believe that this is the first book that came out right before the newest edition of Warhammer. I could be wrong. If I am, I'm very sorry. Not much in the history of the Wood Elves, a big-ass timeline, cool little pictures. And we get into the Army of Ethel Lauren Special Rules. It's the first army book I've realized that has its broken up special rules on two pages for each unit. So we'll go through them. First, we have a little box that contains the actual everybody in the army rule. First is the Asrei Archery, basically. I cannot pronounce that, but it basically says the Elves of Athel Lauren are the most accomplished and deadliest archers in the whole Warhammer world. And what this comes down to is Wood Elves do not suffer the -1 hit penalty for moving and shooting. Next, we have the general rule of Forest Walkers. All models in the Wood Elf army, except flyers, using their flying movement, may ignore movement penalties for moving through woods. Not too bad. I would have liked to see the Warhawks have that. I believe the Pterodons for the Skinks have the move through jungle, but not sure right now. And Woodland Ambush. This basically allows you, if you're playing a pitch battle, just after you roll for table sides, but before you place any units, the Wood Elf player can place an extra woods no longer than 6 inches in diameter anywhere in their half of the table. Why, you say? We'll get to that later in Magic. That's army-wide special rules. Next, we have the individual unit special rules. And they would be, we have the bodyguard special rule. Basically, it's for your Eternal Guard. When joined by Wood Elf Highborn or Noble, the unit is stubborn. Next is we have the Eternal Guard fighting style. It's basically, let's see how it goes. It's regardless how Eternal Guard models are armed and armored, they have armor save of 5+, and they consider fighters they are armed with two-hand weapons in close combat if they are in base-to-base with the enemy. In addition, they may fight with an additional rank to the front, although the models doing so only get a single attack, just like spears. So it allows you to get a little bit. Next, we have Flying Cavalry. They're Strength 2. They get a +1 to armor save from being mounted, and they're affected by spells, blah-de-la-de, that would affect cavalry. Next is my bread and butter of the Forest Spirit army list is the Forest Spirit special rule. Units that contain the Forest Spirit special rule that do not have the Forest Spirit special rule may not join units of treemans and such. Forest Spirits have a 5+ ward save, but this save cannot be used against magical attack spells and weapons. Bullshit! I just like to see Chaos have it a little bit nicer there. Attacks by Force Spirit count as being magical, and that's cool. And any ranged attacks they may have. And four spirits are immune to psychology. I guess so. We'll deal with that. Not too bad, I guess. Up next, we have four stalkers. It's Waywatchers. It's a Waywatcher special rule, and they get an additional negative one hit when you're shooting at them. Basically, that's it. Gladeguard longbows. That allows them. Gladeguard longbows are strength 4 at short range. We have the hit and run special rule that goes for flying cavalry. This is kind of like broken up. You know, it's just like you got all these special rules. But anyway, we'll get over that. We have Impale for the Unicorn. It gives it a +2 to strength. Lethal Shot. These are given to the Waywatchers as well. They have the Killing Blow special ability at short range. And Poison Breath for the Dragon. It's a strength 2 armor save modifier of -3. We have the Dances for the Waywatchers, which I'll go back to Waywatchers when we get there. So I'll talk to them about the Dances in order. We have the Strangle Root Attack. This is a short-range shooting attack done by Tree Men. We have Talismanic Tattoos. Basically, a model with the tattoos gains a 6+ ward save and has magic resistance 1. So if they are hitting you with something that has the tattoos, I mean, if they're hitting something that has the tattoos and it's magic, at least you get the armor ward save of 6 against that if you're Force Spirit, like I go with my army. Fury Kurnos. The models that have this, they get a +1 attack on rounds that they did not charge. The Wild Hunt, when they do charge, as long as the unit of Wild Riders has a musician, they cause fear to the start of the next turn. Tree Singing. Tree Men can cast Tree Singing in the same manner as a bound spell with a power level of 3. And we'll get to Tree Singing in Magic, and this will talk a little bit more into the wood thing. They say, why? Ward Answer Weapons. They gain a +1 attack. In addition, they add +1 strength to all the attacks they have in the first round of combat when they're charging. So that's basically it for the Army of Athaloran special rules. And we go ahead and we get right into the guts of the book. For characters, not special characters, we have Elven Highborn and Nobles. Basically, your average Lord Elf, basically, or Noble Elf. Weapon skill 7 or 6, Ballistic skill 6, Strength 4. 3 wounds because it's, 3 toughness because it's elf. What can you do? High initiative. 4 attacks to the highborn, 3 for the noble, 10 for the leadership of the highborn, and 9 for the noble. And of course, you can take 100 points of magic items and or spites. We'll go over the spites when we get there. Next up is the elven mages. You have a spell weaver and a spell singer. One's basically the hero option, one's the Lord option. Stat-wise, not too different from each other, outside of one extra wound and one better leadership on the Lord. Next up, we have Gladeguard. Let's go, actually. I'm doing this all around. There we go. Let's go with the rest of the Lord selections first. We have a Tree Man Ancient. We're weighing in at 325 points with a weapon skill 5, strength 6, toughness 6, 6 wounds, 5 attacks, leadership 9, and 2 initiative. We have a Tree Man Ancient. He holds the Force Spirit rule, scaly skin of a 3+, stubborn, strangle roots. He's also flammable. He's a large target. Tree singing and causes terror. I believe the Tree Man can do it multiple times too, the Tree Singing. And the other hero choice we have is a Branch Wraith. 65 points, weapon skill 6, 5 movement, 4 strength, 4 toughness, 2 wounds, initiative 8, 3 attacks, and leadership 8. Can be upgraded to a level 1 wizard, has a Force Spirit special rule, and causes fear. Not shabby. Not shabby at all. I don't know if I'm actually going to make it a wizard. I'm thinking if I can min-max points, I'll end up with two Branch Wraiths. before I go one branch Wraith Wizard. Okay, four core choices. We have Glade Guard. 12 points per model. Only weapons they have are the longbows. You can have them full command with the magic standard up to 25 points. They have the Glade Guard longbow. And for every unit, you have Glade Guard for extra 5 points. You may have a unit that scout and have the skirmish special rule, but do not have the longbows. I don't know about all that. I don't know if that would be all good, but one of the things is you may not have more units of scouts than you do Glaive Guard. I don't think they're all that great to have them as scouts. Next up, Glade Riders. 24 points apiece. Spear and longbow. Fast cavalry. Not feeling it. Not feeling it at all. I mean, they have the longbow, I guess, and the spear. They got no armor. And there is no heavy armor in this army book anyway, so... But even light armor can make the difference once in a while. Up next as a core choice, but only if you have your army led by a Highborn, is the Eternal Guard. And if you do not have an army led by a Highborn, they are actually a special choice. These guys are packing a 5 weapon skill with extra attack because of their weapon. They have 1 attack normally with pretty good leadership. They have Eternal Guard weapons and armor, so they have a 5 plus save. Not bad. They have the Bodyguard special rule. Not too bad. I don't know if I'd stick points in them, because for 12 points for the next core selection, we have Dryads. They skirmish, the cause fear, and has 4 spirit special rule. So they have the, you know, they're packing quite a few different advantages. For 12 points, not too shabby. Strength 4, toughness 4, initiative 6, 2 attacks that are magical. They do have a ward save. This is what made me go the 4 spirit roll. If I ever increase my army outside of trees, I inevitably will have some wood elf bowmen, because why not? But I want to run the Alter Noble. But dryads are, they're golden. Special units, we have a War Dancer Troop. 18 points. Basic elf stats minus weapon skill is a 6. They skirmish. Immune to psychology. They have the talismanic tattoos. And they have the Shadow Dances of Loic. Now what these are different abilities. You can pick 4 the unit each turn. You can never pick the same one twice. And it didn't cost you any extra points, but here they are. You got Whirling Death. Each strike of the War Dancer's blade is made uncanny precision, and War Dancers have Killing Blow special rule. Next dance is Storm of Blades. Grants them a +1 attack. Up next, we have the Shadow's Coil. It gives them a 4+ ward save. And the last one is Woven Mist. Allows always strike first, and if your unit has it, resolve attacks in initiative order. And with initiative 6, you're looking pretty golden on everything. Next up is probably the biggest waste of points you could sink into a Wood Elf army, and it makes me sad. And that would be the Warhawk Rider. Sure, you're going to have +1 armor for being mounted on Warhawk, but for your weapons and armor, you have spear and longbow. Basic elf stats, even. I mean, it's like a glade guard, I think, on a freaking eagle or warhawk that you can't fly through a forest without penalty, which I don't get. 40 points, and you can upgrade one of them to a wind rider for 20 points. Cool looking to have one, but I wouldn't waste my breath on it. Next up, this is a choice I'd take over top of the Glade Riders, and this is actually the Wild Riders of Coronos. They have a 5 weapon skill, 4 strength, where the other option for fast cavalry only has a 3 strength. Of course, they only have 3 toughness, 1 wound, 5 initiatives, and 1 attack. But unit can take a magic standard up to 50 points. They get a free musician. They charge fear on the charge. they had the tattoos. They had the four spirit roll rule, so they all attacks are magical. They have a 4+ ward save that can be used against anything but magic. I mean, it's in their immunopsychology. For 26 points compared to 24 points for the Glade Riders. And if you don't charge with them, they get an extra attack if they're charged or and they're stuck in combat. So for 26 points, I would pretty much say I would rather use my... If I needed fast cavalry and I was dying to have some, they would be Wild Riders. Next up is the Treekin. These are little baby treemen, basically. 65 points a model. Strength 5, toughness 5, 3 wounds. Leadership 8. No weapons and armor outside of branch-like limbs. They have a scaly skin of a 4+. They are flammable. They cause fear. And they have the 4 spirit special rule. I do have 3 in my army because I want to see how they roll. And, I don't know. I'm doing a 4 spirit army, so I'm running the Treekin. Rare units, we have the Waywatchers. 24 points, boys and girls. For a unit that has 4 stalker special rule, lethal shot, and skirmish. They have 2 hand weapons and longbow. So I guess in hand-to-hand they have 2 attacks. Oh my, this is just a rough choice. 24 points if I had to have a unit that would be able to skirmish and be able to hide out and stuff. I guess I would have one. They are unique looking models, so I'm not sure. I don't see the value of them right now in my future, but I might, especially as a rare unit. I'm not sure. A rare unit I probably will and most likely will always take is a Tree Man. 285 points. 5 attacks, 6 wounds. We're talking about rank busting ability here. Scaly skin of a 3+, stubborn, strangle roots, flammable, forest spirit, tree singing, large target, and terror. I like them. Only bad thing about them is you can't have spites. But as for a rare choice, especially in a forest spirit army, there is no other choice. Next, we have the Great Eagle. Okay, with that, we're going up to a Dogs of War and also a rare unit. We're skipping over the Great Eagle because I don't think a toughness 4, no armor, flying creature with 2 attacks is worth 50 points. I mean, if I'm not willing to spend 40 points on a Warhawk Rider, I'm definitely not doing it on a Great Eagle. That's basically it for the units. Now, unique to the what else, we have Spites. Well, these are a little like Gremlins, a little spirits hanging out with the Wood Elves, and they cost points, unfortunately, and they give special abilities to the models that they hang out with. One, we have the Blight of Terrors. It's the most expensive spite, and the model with this blight causes terror. We have the Befuddlement of Mischiefs. It's a bound spell, power level 3 for 25 points. It's a magic missile, range 18. If it hits, causes unit to become stupid until next turn. Next up, the Murder of Spites. A Murder of Spites. 25 points. The model gains D6 attacks in close combat. These are worked out with the bearer's weapon skill. Have the initiative 4 and strength 2, and they're also magical and poisoned. This is going on my branch wraith, giving it a little bit beefy, or giving her a little bit of beefiness. Next is the Muster of Malevolence. Also 25 points. The rest of them from here out are 25 points. Range weapon, 2d6, strength 2 shots, count as magical, poisoned. I always hit on 4+. Might give it to Branch Wraith as well, not 100% sure. We have the Annoyance of Nettlings. I was going to throw this on my Elven Noble on a stag if I didn't take the Hail of Doom arrows. But it just allows anyone attempting to strike the character with this particular spites to only hit on 6s. Up next, we have the Resplendence of Luminescence. All attacks made by their character and units they join are magical. Okay, doesn't affect me. All mine are magic anyway. The Lamination of Despairs, another bound spell, power level 3. One use only on this one. Any model on the board may be targeted. The targeted model must pass a leadership test or else suffer D3 automatic wounds, cannot be saved by armor saves ward saves and cannot be regenerated. Could be handy if it's not stopped, but 25 points for something that's basically, once you say what it's going to do, you can use other dispel dice or dispel scroll to stop it. Next up is Cluster of Radiance. Only branch rates and treatments can take it. Allows you to add one extra dice to your dispel pool. And the last one is a Pageant of Strikes. In addition to any shooting attacks, the model can make another shooting attack. They always hits on 3+, strength 4. Can even be used to pick out a character in combat. Okay, it's alright. Next up, I'm going to go over some notable Wood Elf magic items. Not much. We have a Bow of Lorn. It allows the bearer to shoot as many times as they have attacks in their profile. And you do not suffer the -1 for multiple shots. Not too shabby. 3 shots. It could work. We have also, let's see, for magical weapons, I'm not really impressed with anything else. Magic armor. We have the Oaken armor, which is pretty okay. And it's a light armor, 6+ armor save, but it grants the wearer regeneration. Pretty nice. We have talismans up next. We get a couple. We have the expensive talisman, the Rhymer's Harp, gives you 5+ ward save. It gives it to the wearer, the unit, any unit they join. And they can move through all kinds of difficult world without penalty. It's not seeing the usefulness for 75 points to me. Not much on there. Enchanted items. I did skip one in the armor, which is actually goes to the most famous noble with the alter kindred spirit thing. Anyway, it is the Helm of the Hunt. 20 points. It gives the bearer a 6+ armor save. But that's not where it is, boys and girls. It's when the character charges, it gets a +1 attack and +1 weapon skill for that turn. Now, this is going to be combined on a Wood Elf Noble with the Alter Kindred, allowing him... We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, we'll go over that. Next, we have the Hail of Doom Arrows. We're going to mention this for 30 points of the Magic Arrow. Fired, the arrow splits into 3d6 Magical Strength 4 arrows. Roll to hit for each arrow. I mean, pretty freaking crazy. So, we're going to... I don't know. I'm not feeling the rest of the magic items. I'm not liking it. But the book also has, for uniqueness, is it's also got that you can buy these kindreds for your nobles and your highborns, basically making them like other units, such as the War Dancer kindred. This allows the noble, the highborn, to use the shadow dances, makes him immune to psychology, and he has the tattoos. We have the Eternal Kindreds. Allows him to use the Eternal Guard fighting style. We have the Alter Kindreds, which these are the most handy. And this goes for a combo that I'm sure if you got a regular Wood Elf player around your hobby store, you're always going to see. And this gives your character initiative and a movement of 9. Has to be on foot, can't be the army general, but you combine that with a great weapon, as well as the Hail of Doom Arrows and the Helm of the Hunt, you got yourself a snazzy little killer out there. And my army gets a little bit bigger. If I decide to go bigger with it, I'm going to be running Alter Kindred as well, because I have the model already picked out that I want to use. You got the Scout Kindred. Boy, guess what that's going to happen, huh? Gives them the Scout ability. Okay, we have the Wild Rider Kindred. That allows them to have the tattoos, the Fury of Kronos, the Forest Spirit special rule. But you have to ride a great stag or a steed. I get a stag. It's not the greatest model in the world. It looks like a cow. But I'm going to play with it. We have the Waywatcher Kindred that gives the noble, the highborn, Waywatcher special rules. And we have the Glamour Weave Kindred. As allows... And this gives your mage the Forest Spirit special rule. They have to ride an Elven Steed or Unicorn. if you're running them in a Forest Spirit armor and you have to have a Forest Spirit, that's, I guess it's handy. For special characters, we have Orion, the King of the Woods. We won't really go over him. Jiraiya, and Nastura, and Arhana, or Harhan, Sisters of Twilight. Whenever I see the words Twilight, I think of the movie, and it's pretty gay. So, let's go on to spells. Then we'll call it quits with the book here. For one, we have Tree Singing. And this is where it's at for the most popular Wood Elf tactic, is Tree Singing. It allows you to move a forest, D3 plus 1 inches in any direction. Now, which is nice, it can have units that are friendly in the woods and can move with it. So a lot of people will do what they call tree surfing. And they'll have a tree man, they have their mage in there, and they'll sit there, and they'll affect the same wood multiple times, move a woods across the table, be in the woods, pop out the next turn. The spell can also be used to inflict D6 strength 5 hits to a single enemy that is even partially within a wood. Guess it's not too shabby. The Fury of the Forest, it is a 18-inch magic missile. D6, strength 4 hits. If it's within 6 inches of a wood, suffer D6, strength 5. The Hidden Path. The spell here allows to be cast upon a single unengaged friendly unit within 18 inches. If the spell is successful, the unit treats all terrain as open ground and cannot be harmed by non-magical missile weapons until the start of the next caster's turn. It's net magic phase. Should the unit become engaged in close combat, the spell ends instantly. That could be pretty handy. I didn't think about that one entirely in my thought process here. Next, we have the Twilight Host. It can be cast at any unit within 18 inches. Till the next turn, the unit causes fear. And a unit cannot be affected by the spell twice in the same magic phase. Ariel's Blessing is the next one. Friendly unit, 18 inches. The unit gains regeneration. The unit can be cast in combat. Not too bad. Then last but not least, we have the Call of the Hunt. Spirit of blah blah, target spell. The spell may be cast upon a friendly unit within 18 inches. Everything's 18 with this book. If already engaged in combat, each model gains a plus 1 attack. Does not affect the steeds or ridden monsters. In addition, if the unit is not engaged in combat, immediately makes 2d6 move towards the nearest enemy it can see. A unit moves such a way it cannot shoot that turn. If a unit brings into contact with an enemy, it counts as charging in the next close combat phase. Enemy charged in such a way may only choose a hold reaction and must take any psychology tests it incurred as normal. So for magic, for the one-off army, I'm not really ecstatic by it. So for a, that's it for the wood elves. I mean, here we go. We have a bunch of elves that don't get the always strike first rule. I think that their magic items are well below par. They don't have access to heavy armor. They don't have any standard foot troops. Their bowmen are highly priced. I don't know. The appeal to me so far, besides the fact that I think wood elves are really kind of the true elves. Keep saying a legless in my days of D&D. Everything is about wood elves. And until next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.